Hi everyone, this is Adam Klein, Global Graduate Director, faculty member at New Ventures West. This is episode 2 of our podcast, Stepping In, where we take a bold inquiry into life's biggest challenges with one of the oldest and most distinguished coaching schools in the world. In a spirit of curiosity, compassion, and honesty, we delve into how integral coaching can address some of the most pressing issues we face as individuals, as communities, and as stewards of our planet. We'll explore what it takes to develop the sensitivity and capacity required to live and thrive in an increasingly complex world. Today, I'm joined by Jessica Mina, our Enrollment Director, and special guest Lizzie Nguyen. Lizzie is on faculty with New Ventures West and teaches both here in the U.S. and at her home city in London. Lizzie works in human resources and organizational development in the music publishing industry. Welcome, Lizzie.
Thank you, Adam.
So today, what we're going to have a conversation about is this question of what is coaching, which I thought was a good question to open up. What do we actually mean by coaching? Because I think it's a question that everyone would have a different answer to. And I think that New Ventures West has a particular distinct way of looking at coaching, even in the landscape of life, executive coaching and whatnot.
I think that's obviously, you know, Adam, as you're pointing at, is a question that is unfathomably unanswerable. And that's what makes it such a great question. There's a certain flavor of coaching at New Ventures West that certainly I'd never experienced before. And it seems to me that what happens in our kind of coaching is that whether it's with you and your client or you and your fellow coaches on the PCC, there's a depth of foundational relationship that I think is deeply necessary for any of this work that we want to do in the world. So when I say foundation for relationship, I mean that we are all deeply committed to doing our own inner work that allows us to be in the kind of relationship that's necessary with another human being in order for there to be safety, in order for there to be a feeling of being seen that allows you to relax, your nervous system relaxes, and you know that what happens here, what is said here, what I can reveal here, it's all welcome and accepted. I think that's really the step one of what is coaching. It's if without that, nothing is really possible. So that's one of the really big foundations of our school is our own inner work and our own capacity to build relationship and be in relationship and to be in the breakdown.
I love that so much. And, you know, I often say that one of the things about New Ventures West and the way that we approach coaching is that, you know, we see coaching as so much more than just something that you do with clients. And, you know, methodology is crucial and so important to us. And all of that is really meaningless. Mm-hmm. If you cannot hold your clients in something really profound, in a really profound presence. If you cannot allow your own presence to be this container, this field in which they can unfold.
There are many different people who come to the PCC from different walks of life and different backgrounds. Some people are extremely academic, some people are scientists, other people are therapists, other people are just here for a journey of some kind of personal exploration, and, you know, many more reasons to come and learn. But what I love about it is that it addresses both things. So it one moment we're building our capacity to be this container that you're talking about, to be this presence, to be somebody who can make a relationship. And in another way, we're continually building on and refining our understanding and our integration of our methodology. And our methodology is rigorous. There's really hard to grasp philosophical components to the way that we work. And it doesn't matter which way you come from. It's like you can either come from this way more relational way of being in the world and then get into the methodology and realize that it's the same thing really, or you can come at this whole thing through I need to know what's what, I want to know what the techniques are, I need to know how to do things. And if you really rigorously take yourself through that, you will emerge into a relationship. So it's this kind of really beautiful weaving that happens, that's that's very, you know, it's consciously done with every program that we run.
Yeah, I think one of the ways it's helpful for me to think about it is that we're working with the relational side or the inner world of the client and what's happening inside. And then, but not stopping there, but also saying, how are they behaving in the world? And how can I help them become more effective in their life? So supporting them on their inside and their outside life, which I think is what you're speaking to about. Even the methodology does both. So there's this notion of the necessity of the coach being able to develop presence and do their own inner work so that they are able to connect to someone else's inner world and support them there. But then also this study of some type of methodology to help people become effective and really understanding that there is some way in which adults develop. And we can learn about this and we can study it and we can support people in a really profound and effective way. Mm-hmm. So it's the wonderful weaving of those two things that I think that really makes the methodology of New Ventures West somewhat distinct, is being able to work on both of those in not a strict or like absolute regimented way, but acknowledging that it's as much art as it is science and reveling in the mystery of all of it, which has it be this ongoing, never-ending, evolving way of working with people and not a dogmatic, this is what you must do. It could be helpful to explore this a little bit more through the question of maybe what is happening in coaching? And what is the coach, quote unquote, doing in coaching that has this be the case?
So my sense of that is such a great question. And tuning into that for me is that is a sense of what there is to say, how there is to be, allowing that to actually come out in my language and my body and the way that I'm here right now, and to not try and be contrived in some way or tell you all the things that I wrote down earlier that I might have prepared for to talk to you, but to allow something to come from me and to be brave enough to just say, this is what's emerging. And it's a combination of that, just as we were saying, and there's a rigorousness around the way we work. So in a coaching conversation, it's always so important to take risks and say the things that are coming, and at the same while holding onto the thread of how come we're here in the first place. Like, what did you come to me with? Like, what's causing you suffering? And finding a developmental thread, a path for us to follow and to be in together, and at the same time allowing myself to bring what's mine to say and what's mine to do in the context of our relationship, so that we do stay within the directionality, if you like, of how come it is that we're here in the first place. So some conversation that goes off on a tangent that doesn't include the fact that my baby won't sleep at night and I really don't know what to do is probably not as helpful as, so how do we stay attuned to that whilst having the conversation around it that becomes developmental, that enables you to find a new way of being in your life that has this not be such a source of suffering?
What you said, there's so many things woven into what you just said. Let's see if we can bring some of them into the foreground. Like, for instance, you said listening in and bringing forth what's there in the conversation. So in coaching, there's this sense of what we're talking about at the beginning of attunement and presence to the client, and being able to hear what isn't being said and name it, and then have it start to come forward. And just sometimes it's just an inkling, but then having that start to unravel something, or rather having something bloom in the conversation. So this is part of, I think, what we mean by coaching is, what is your ability to tune into what is going on for the client? Naming something that they can't quite see and bringing it forward. So one way we would talk about that at New Ventures West is trying to understand what is the world of the client. And you said that, Lizzie. What is the world that the client is operating in that has this thing be a breakdown for them, or has this thing be a disruption for them, or cause them to be stuck?
Mm-hmm.
And then holding the methodology in the background and bringing that in really practical ways.
You know, and it's interesting what just sprung to my mind there as well. I remember being at the supermarket once, and there was a queue, and or like the grocery store is probably more American language. And we were in the line to go to the lady to pay for our stuff. And there was this one woman in the line that was absolutely freaking out because it was taking too long. And I remember, you know, there's just those kind of moments in your life where you look and you think, so why is that lady freaking out and that lady's not freaking out? Like, what is the difference between those two people that has this be a deep, deep issue where she's literally like throwing her toys out of the pram? And then this other lady is standing there like looking like a kind of Zen person. And, you know, it was just a kind of key moment in my life where I thought, oh, and, you know, what you just said, it's like, why is this a break? You know, how come a way of being of this person has this be a breakdown? Has this be a source of suffering for them? Because we all know that if not everybody is suffering, which they never are, then it must be something to do with our relationship to what's happening that has it be this way and has it hit us in the way that it's hitting us. And that's the thing I think we're speaking to in our coaching, is what is it about the world that I'm in, the world that I make by being the person that I am and having all the interpretations that I have and the background culture that I come from and the family relationships I have and how I've learned to be in the world. That all mixed together creates a world that has certain things be difficult and other things be easy for me. And it's that really we're honing our ability to relate to and to see and to bring forward so that we can begin to work with it. You know, and sounds to me that we're talking about the part of the relationship that's live.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much in our methodology that has people practice in between times. Mm-hmm. So when, Adam, you were saying, you know, we're drawing attention to things that may not be being said, is that there's ways that we can design programs that have people in between times over a long period of time do that piece of work for themselves as well. So artfully designing reflections so that people can bring what's in the background that they can't see, that is just the flavour of their life and they don't know why and how come this is the... You know, why do I feel so tense all the time? Like, why is my nervous system, like, completely, like, charged the whole time and I can't even go to sleep at night, even when I'm so tired? Like, why can't I just get the rest that I need? And there'd be so many ways that you could artfully design reflections so that someone can have whatever's in the background that's having it be this way brought forward. And so then once something's in our hands, we, you know, there's something to work with. So I think that's a lovely point that you make, Adam, about bringing things here.
Mm-hmm.
And the skill
mm-hmm.
that we need to develop to be able to bring things here for ourselves and to have gone through that process ourselves too. Like, if I don't know what it's like to really, really reflect on something at the end of each day, and how hard that is sometimes when I've got three children and they won't go to sleep and I still need to find time for myself, for example. It's like, if we haven't been through that and we don't understand what that is. Because I think there are some forms of coaching, which, I mean, I've never done before, but I think there are some where you just say, here we are, do that. And I don't have to have had a relationship with that myself beforehand. It's kind of prescriptive. And that's really the opposite of how I see New Ventures West, like our inner work, our inner processing, our being coached ourselves and going through what it takes to really make a sustained shift in our lives helps us speak and be with our clients in this way that we can really be someone who's in it with them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than somebody throwing suggestions and watching how it lands, we're in it. We're partnering and we're kind of co-creating and wallowing in whatever the mess is together and finding a way through.
Yeah, you point to something I think that's both helpful and beautiful in talking about what something is or might be is talking about what it isn't. And the Adventures West coaching definitely isn't, especially in the case of like the person who's having difficulty speaking up. As a coach, we wouldn't say, well, you just need to try harder. Or count to 10 and then just say what you need to say. Or, you know, some other crazy example of like how to just kind of get over the fear without really addressing what's underneath that has you be that way.
Yeah.
Which is unique to every person. And then working with the uniqueness of that person and supporting them in the deeper thing so that they have some ground to stand on in the case of speaking up.
Mm.
So it's this idea of not sort of cheerleading or giving people an easy prescription for a surface problem,
mm.
but working one layer, at least one layer deeper than that. What I understand New Ventures West coaching to be is providing a sacred space in a relationship container where someone can be seen, as we've been saying. And when you're seen, the amount of power that comes from that.
Mm.
But not just leaving people there and saying, oh, so you've been seen and you feel good and you feel more empowered, and then just walking away. But then saying, how can I work with you and give you some things that will help you work with this? Exercise it, if you will. Become more familiar with it so that you can do this on your own without me as the coach.
Yeah, I've heard James Flaherty, our founder, describe what we're up to as helping people figure out what their real sort of soul's calling in the world is, and then helping them gain the skills and the competence they need in order to go and do that. And I think that that's sort of a great shorthand for sort of for what it is that we're up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the other thing to say as well is why I feel like our work works, specifically in the context of the PCC, is because you don't all go through the same thing, and you go through the same thing. Because in the part where you're not going through the same thing as everyone else is that you're attended to as your uniqueness and in your sameness at the same time. So there are the parts of the program that you have your own development program. There are parts where you have direct coaching conversations with the faculty. And there are parts where there are universal themes to our suffering that get addressed as well. So it's not just, it's not like an individual coaching conversation where it's just about you and your coach. It's really different than that. But it also includes that. And I think that's what's really, really special about the PCC is that it attends to us as individuals, and it tends to us as kind of universality of what it means to be a human being and what it's like to be here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think transcends often questions that people have, like, is it executive coaching, or what's the difference between that and business coaching or life coaching? Is, well, this is working with the person. And so it can be, so the context matters, of course, but the way in which we do it isn't context specific, because it's working with the person,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a profound, profound way of working with coaching, because it's not attending to the situation that the person's in. Are they in a business context? Is this a personal thing or whatever it is? But rather looking at what's going on for this person, as we've been saying, and how can I work with them? Mm-hmm. And then that's going to translate, because they're in that context. It's going to work its way up. But starting at that lower level and having it work its way up, I think has that longer lasting effect versus just addressing the situation where the person maybe can be better in that one specific thing, but then they're kind of stuck outside of that.
And also, like, you know, if I think of clients that I work with in the business world, as in I'm going into an organization and the organization is paying me to be a coach for some of their employees or whatever, they may not be people who are living out their dream by working in the role that they're in, for example. So they may not be showing up fully in all of their glory to do a job that might not be exactly the thing that they wish for. And if I wasn't able to find ways of asking questions outside of this that have me experience the points where they light up, or the point where they start speaking in a different way, that a smile comes across their face. And if I didn't have a sense of how they are in other parts of their lives, it may be really hard for me to even see who they are, really. So to address somebody in their wholeness, even though the context may be work, and we may be calling it executive coaching or something, the creation of that foundation of relationship isn't possible unless you go further afield in their world than just this context that you're in. So when everybody says, oh no, well, you can't ask personal questions when you're in a business context or whatever, I'm thinking, well, firstly, surely everything is personal. Like, what isn't personal? We are a person in a situation in our life. And if I didn't ask outside of this, if I didn't ask about people's children, and I didn't ask about where they live and what they love to do and where they love to spend time, it may be that I miss them. And then how can I even make a relationship where they would feel safe telling me what they need to tell me? Because otherwise I just become another colleague. I become a corporate person who they can't really say what they want to say to. And then the effect of the coaching that is intended to happen because of we're there in the first place can't even happen anyway. When you're asked to come in and coach someone, the intention is for them to grow. There's some kind of breakdown that they're not doing so well at, which maybe when they're in a board meeting, they don't really say what they think, or there's conflict in the boardroom, and because of their capacity to create relationship, everything breaks down every time we have a meeting or something. So in order to grow in that, our kind of coaching is really necessary, because it's about finding a voice. But finding your voice might include a lot of shameful stuff, which may include, you know, my inability to really articulate anything and how embarrassed I feel and how my body goes into shutdown or freeze whenever the spotlight's on me. And in order to get into that and have a real conversation about that, I have to ask more than just what's your role and how good are you at getting things done or something. You know, I really do. I have to ask, so where does this come from? Like, what do you already know about this? How does it be this way? And that may come from way, 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 way outside the organisation. People have had jobs before. People have had upbringings. You have had imperfect childhoods, as every single person has. People have marriage problems. People have all these different sources of difficulty that have them be in this slice of their life, which happens to be at work. There's so much that comes into that. And so to only talk about the slice that you're supposed to be addressing, it doesn't make sense.
So, Lizzie, you were just talking about a business context of coaching. And I think you're pointing to some things about what coaching is up to. Are there some general things that you can name that you would say are part and parcel of coaching, of this integral way of coaching?
Yeah, so there's a few things to say. One is that through our school, whether you go through it as a coach or you're working with your clients, there are certain outcomes that you can expect to be the results of the work. And so the first one is that we expect an outcome of self-generation. And that means that instead of there being a reliance on someone else to come up with the answers, a reliance on someone else to come up with resources, for example, the way that we get involved in the work means that we become people who can seek that out for ourselves. So that means that there's an inner resource. We feel like we're not always looking outside of ourselves for the answers. It's like we get a sense of presence, a sense of agency that has our nervous system be calm enough that I can say, so what's needed here? What are my resources? What can I do? What meditation did I learn that could help me with this because I have a presentation tomorrow? Or what is there that I have now in my way of being that enables me to be self-generating, to not necessarily be reliant on anything else to find in the moment responses to what's here? The other thing is that we become self-correcting. So we become expert observers of ourselves. So I can see that every time I say this one thing in relationship, the same thing happens again and again and again and again. And after however many times it takes me to gain the awareness that it's happening, I can do something differently. So it's our capacity to observe and to experiment with different reactions or different responses to things that has me be self-correcting. And the other thing as well is what we're calling long-term excellence, which means that we're not in this for the short term. We're in this for the path that it opens up for us. So a short stint of coaching to solve a problem is not what we're doing. It's the opposite than that. We're beginning on a path of inquiry. We're beginning on a path that once it's opened is irreversible and it exists for the longer term. So we're not focusing on short-term outcomes that fix things, little problems. We're working, for example, on how to become somebody who addresses problems differently. So you can't unlearn what you learn. And it's not only applicable to one thing. it becomes applicable again and again and again and again for however long we're alive, and who knows, beyond.
This is Adam Klein, Global Graduate Director and faculty member at New Ventures West, and I've been joined by Director of Enrollment Jessica Mina and our special guest, Lizzie Nguyen. This has been another episode of the podcast, Stepping In. Please spread the news by sharing this episode on social media and let us know what you think by emailing us at steppingin@newventureswest.com. Until next time, take care.